As I was thinking over the weekend about everything that we saw on the news, trying to make sense of it, feeling really terrible and very depressed about the whole situation, I thought, well, if there's one person who may help us make sense of all this, it's Clarence Page, a longtime Chicagoan, activist, a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, member of the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune. Clarence, are you in Washington this morning, or are you back home?
Yes, I'm unfortunately in Washington, Bob, wondering how things are back home. Of course, keeping in contact with folks back there. But here, actually, I'm waiting to see if President Trump is going to come out of his bunker, where he's been since yesterday. At least he's been almost tweet-free during this time. So our curiosity is up.
Well, you know what? As I said, I was thinking about you over the weekend, wondering who we could talk to about all this. And I've known you a long time, and we've been through a lot together. You also remember the 60s. And I see in your column that you just posted the headline, George Floyd's death brings back an old familiar rage. And it seems to hurt even more now than it did back then. Is that because we were just young college students and didn't care as much?
Yeah, you know, it's just that for the Yogi Berra's line, like deja vu all over again. This is what's really depressing right now, Bob. I try. My wife often prods me for being too optimistic. You know, because I do believe in a fundamental goodness of people and the goodness of this country, and a justice will out over time. Also, understanding that we're going to have setbacks, but this. Constant repetition now of the same lines and questions that I heard a half century ago when we had hundreds of riots breaking out between 65 and 69 in this country. People would say things like, I don't understand why they want to burn down their own neighborhoods. Don't they know that Mayor Richard J. Daley's line, the police aren't here to create disorder, the police are here to preserve disorder.
Right.
That ironic slip of his. But we're seeing so many of the same questions now. You know, Bob, most of those riots back then, and it's still true, most of these urban uprisings were sparked by police brutality episodes and controversies, very much like today. And it is really dismaying for me at my age. My son is grown now, and I try to give him some optimism. I mean, first thing, when he was old enough to vote, he went out and volunteered for Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. And I had tears in my eyes from just the signs of progress that America was showing. We're in a big setback right now, Bob. But at the same time, though, I look out there and I see the young people out there on the streets in Minneapolis and these other cities, including here in D.C., and also there in Chicago. I'm gratified by how many kids of all races, and I say kids, I mean young folks in general, are out there, many of them braving coronavirus and all. So I think there are signs of hope, but it is right now, today, I can see why a lot of people feel a sense of despair.
Yeah, especially with the virus on top of us and businesses having enough problems with just that and now this. And when your son asks you, Clarence Page, and you when you talk about the 60s and the question is what's changed, what's the answer?
Yeah, good question, Bob, because I certainly talked to him about the many opportunities that are open to him now that weren't open back then. And at the same time, though, when I tell him, look, you know, we have a system for addressing complaints and all, especially around these episodes that are sparked by video coverage now. I did a column recently about why do we need video cameras to back us up when we have some complaint about police misconduct. But this is a reality that we have to deal with. And now because of the video coming in, it seems like a daily basis. I mean, even while we're talking about George Floyd, we also have to talk about Breonna Taylor, the young woman who was killed in a no-knock raid in Atlanta. I have not seen the term no-knock come up in 50 years. I thought we'd gotten past that, but no, it still happens innocent people get killed in those kind of raids. So I just have to tell them, you know, the Bible said, these things have I done, but greater things shall you do. We turn to your generation now, handing you this mess of a world right now to be able to push us ahead. But I think these young people can do it.
Clarence, do you have any thoughts on what happened to turn this situation so ugly? Because for a while, there were peaceful protests across the country. And then as the days and nights went on, all of a sudden, it really blew up. How did that happen?
Well, you know, this would happen in the 60s, too, but it didn't get quite as much thought. It wasn't quite as much talk about it. And what I'm talking about is you have the peaceful protests organized by responsible leaders and responsible citizens coming out, and then they will be followed by hoodlums. Who would just be mixing in with the crowd. Before Dr. King was killed in Memphis, Tennessee, there were hoodlums out there mixed in with the demonstrators. At that time, the issue was union rights for garbage workers in Memphis. And there were suddenly some youngsters would break out of the crowd and start breaking windows. It turned out later on, they were provoked in large part by FBI agents under J. Edgar Hoover's COINTELPRO program, which we've talked about before, the same one that led to the death of the Black Panther leaders there in Chicago, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. And you can go online now and read the entire COINTELPRO report and see the plans that were made for paying hoods to go out on the street and create problems during their peaceful demonstrations there, very much like what we have now. I'm not saying these new kids are being paid. They don't have to be paid. When you look at the level of need that's out there in our cities right now, amid the coronavirus pandemic, we've got people out of work who need money to be able to pay for their food and shelter. I can't get mad at people when they see a CVS any drugstore or a grocery store with the windows broken and they go in to get some food. But we saw in New Orleans that when white people were getting food out of stores there during Hurricane Katrina, the photo captions were that, people getting food. When blacks did it, the photo captions said looters. Yep. So we still got the same kind of problem again.
Yep. You're going to have opportunists. And right now, you've got the perfect storm. You have people are home, in many cases, no work, no school, no money. And then there's this. The only way I can sum up this conversation is to read what you wrote in your column, Clarence. Justice should not be a question of black versus white. In the true spirit Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had, we should come together across racial lines in pursuit of justice and a better future for all. Thanks for the time, Clarence Page. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Bob. Great talking to you again.